chapter 20, verses 20 through 23. And it's on the screen behind me. And it reads, "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. 'What is it you want?' he asked. She said, 'Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom.' 'You don't know what you're asking,' Jesus said to them. 'Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink?' 'We can,' they answered. Jesus said to them, 'You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father.'" That is the reading of the word.
Strange leading. says, you may be seated in his presence. I just over that.
Bless.
Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers.
Thank you. Same
and
to
happy
you.
Happy Sunday to everybody else.
Same to you,
so
Pastor.
So is everybody happy?
Yes. Happy, happy, happy.
Amen, amen, amen. I'm still on spillover from yesterday. What a day. We ask that you would have your way right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, speak through your servant. In the name of Jesus, we pray for every person under the sound of my voice, Lord, that ears would be unstopped, that hearts would be cultivated, oh God, that your people may hear, receive, and apply your word today. And we count all God in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to just go back for a minute. We talk about a mother's love. We're going to talk about a mother's love. Amen?
Amen.
And you know one thing about a mother is a whole lot of things. She's a cook, bottle washer. She's an educator. She's a clean woman. Dishwasher. Whatever it is that you need, mother is that. And mothers wear so many hats. And I'm talking about mothers. I'm not talking about just people that give birth, but I'm talking about all of those that God has birthed motherhood into. Anyone who has nurtured and who nurtures and reared children, your mother. And so we come this morning to take a look at one of the mothers that the Bible talks about. And that is, I call her Mrs. Zebedee. She's the mother of the sons of Zebedee. How many of y'all know that the two disciples that they call the sons of thunder, and this woman was the mother of those two guys. And it says in the verse 20, then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down, and asked something from him. And he said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I can baptize with? They said to him, we are able. And he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. But it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. A mother's love. As we look at this scripture, usually we look at it in the sense that, I mean, how dare she? With all the disciples that she will go and ask her two sons to sit on the right and the left hand. Sometimes we would look at that as being sort of brash or presumptuous. However, I want to mother, the mother Zebedee today. And she was perfectly aware of the teaching of Jesus about his kingdom. She wasn't a stranger. She knew the teaching of Jesus about his kingdom. She was also very aware of the fact that her sons, James and John, were close to him. In other words, they were two-thirds of the inner circle. The inner circle was Peter, James, and John, okay? And she was very aware of the fact that they were close, and she was aware of the teaching of Jesus. So she was certain that when Jesus formed his kingdom, that they were going to have positions of responsibility and authority. It wasn't that she thought that, you know, they were going to be left out. She figured that they were going to have positions of authority. But in the first part of the same chapter, if you read the first part of the chapter, Jesus also tells a story that probably disturbed Mother Zebedee, because she knew all about that story as well. And it was a story about the landowner who went out to find laborers early in the morning. They agreed upon a fair day's wage and started working. Then at noon, he went out and found some more, and they started working. Then toward evening, he went out and found some more, and they started working. Yet when the Lord paid them off at the end of the day, they always received the same wage. So you see why Mother Zebedee could be a little bit disturbed here. She knew that her sons were going to get a position somewhere in the kingdom, but she didn't know what, because when she looked at Jesus' teaching about the land, the landowners, the ones that came in at the last minute got the same things as the ones that started early in the morning. Now, for us, that wouldn't seem too fair, would it? But this was the teaching that Jesus had given. Anyway, why was it fair? It was fair because everybody agreed on what they would earn that day. So, and for one thing, it was fair because when you say, I work for $10, and at the end of the day, you get $10. And somebody else says, I work for $10. And they come in at noon, and at the end of the day, they get $10. And they all agreed that $10 was a fair price. Then somebody come in at the end, and they get $10. Well, you shouldn't be mad because you got your $10. But most people say, well, they came in at the end, and they got the same $10, but that ain't your business. You got what you had agreed upon.
Yep.
And this was the point that was made here. But you know, look at Mother Zebedee now. Let's not be too critical of her. She probably wonders, will they really have positions of authority? I know they're going to be in the kingdom. But she wanted a position of authority for her sons. So how many of you mothers want the best for your children? You know, you want, mothers don't, they don't want their children to just do anything. They want the best. A mother's love says, I want the best for my children. Now, your children may not always want the best for themselves, but the mother always looks ahead and wants the best. How many of you mothers want better for your children than you got for yourself? That's right. And this not only applies to mothers, fathers too, but this is Mother's Day. But, and so, mothers, you know, you always want your children to go a step further than you. You always want your children to do better than what you did. You want your children to avoid the pitfalls that you fell into.
Right, right.
That's why we try to tell our children, don't do this, don't do that. Why? I've been there.
Right.
And, of course, they tell us, that's because you ain't there. That don't mean I'm going to go there.
Right.
And we hope not. But when we see you going down the same road that we went, 9 times out of 10, you're going to hit the same break that we hit. And so what you're trying to say is don't do that. Don't go that way. I went that way. I mean, how would it be if you knew you had gone down this road, and at the end of this road, there was a cliff. So you turned around and came back. And you see somebody else going down that same road. Wouldn't you warn them, don't go down that road? There's a cliff. That road doesn't go through. There's a cliff. And if you keep going that road, you're going to fall over. So you would want to warn people not to do what you know will cause harm to them. And so a mother's love said, tell your your children. A mother's love said, teach your child not to take that same road that you took. Or even if you took a road and that road didn't do harm to you. But if you see that there's a road that can take them higher, you say, yeah, I went this, I got this, and I'm satisfied right now, but I want better for you. The opportunities today are better. So the opportunities that presented for you today are better than the opportunities that were available to me. So I don't want you to stop where I stopped. I want you to go a little further than where I went. And so Mother Zebedee wanted her boys to have the positions of authority. And as we go a little further, we're going to talk about that. So when the opportunity presented itself, she came to the Lord. Matthew said that she did what? She bowed down before him and made this request. When you establish your kingdom, I will request seats on your right hand and left hand for my two sons. She did what? She bowed down before him. Mother, sometimes we just have to stay on our knees. We have to bow down. Sometimes when you don't feel like bowing down, your back might hurt, but sometimes you got to get out the bed and get on your knees. Sometimes you got to prostrate yourself. And you really want to get through. You really want to get through to God. You want to worship him. You want to please him. Sometimes it just takes a little more than sitting up straight and saying a couple of words. But no, you need to get down on your knees and worship him for who he is, Mother. Amen. We need to sometimes get, you know, just have a little more knee bending. Because, you know, your battle is won on your knees. Your battle not won with your fist. Sometimes we try to go there, but they make you mad. And it's fist time. But there's time for everything. Hallelujah. And so while we think about criticizing Mama Zebedee, maybe we ought to think about some of these positive concerns that she had. And then when we look at what she was really asking for, we notice it wasn't that she was presumptuous. It wasn't that she was brash. It wasn't that she didn't want good for the others. She just wanted the best for herself. To her son, it wasn't her responsibility. The others wasn't her responsibility. We want all kids to succeed. But your kid, your child, is the one that you are preoccupied with. Amen? So let's look at what Mama Zebedee want. She wanted to pray. Sometimes we try to push our children into doing things. We try to make them a doctor when being a doctor is not in them. That's not even what God called them to, but because we want them to be a doctor. I want you to be a doctor. I want you to be a lawyer. I want you to be, because so-and-so's son is this and so-and-so's son is that. So I want you to do this. That may not be it to them. And that's a mother's college ain't for everybody. Furthering your education, yes. But not college. Everybody is not geared for a four-year academic program in college. They may need to go to trade school, business school, career school, and it doesn't make them any less. Look at your neighbor and say, it's no less. Because they will be working toward their potential, their destiny. You don't have to. If you come to a point where you say, college is not for me, don't you let nobody make you feel bad, kids. But let me tell you, you don't stop high school and sit down either. And say, I have finished it all. No, you have not. You better get yourself a trade. You better find out. And you need to get on your knees and find out what it is that God wants you to do. And guess what? They got a school for everything.
They sure do.
They got a scoop in it, you just have to find it. But Mother Zebedee, she was praying. And that's what we need to do sometimes. Because when you try to push your child, you're going to do this, and you're going to do that. And you know what they do?
Nothing.
That's exactly. They just get mad with you, and you when you get to talking to them, and they may not say nothing while they're close to you. But when they go behind your back, they will talk about you like hamburger. They go behind your back and she get on my nerve. How they gonna do nothing? I mean, they ain't telling you that. But they tell everybody else. Mm-hmm. And hoping they don't come back and tell you. But children, you can't push them, but you've got to find out what it is that they're interested in. What is it that you want to do in life? What is it that you think you would enjoy doing that would make you feel good?
Yes.
And when you do that, then you know what? You get down on your knees. You get on your knees and you pray. Because I don't care what it is that they want to do, the devil's going to try to stop them. There's a battle going on for the seed. There is a battle for the seed. That is the main battle. Because Satan is afraid about children, mothers. You got to get that in your mind. They're afraid about children. They realize that if our children begin to get, they get filled with the Holy Ghost. And the fear of God is in them. Satan realizes he knows better than we do. He realizes that he don't have a chance in hell to defeat our children. But if he can keep them in a rebellious mode, and if he can keep them in a depressed mode, and if he can keep them with listening and reading all kind of junk that he puts out, then he can keep them from reaching their destiny. And mothers, we've got to be as wise as serpents.
Yes, yes.
We've got to have some wisdom. They don't know, but you have been there. And even though you made mistakes and maybe you failed, but you know now. And one thing you do know, if you are in the house of God, you're in the family of God, you get on your knees.
Amen.
And you pray. How many of y'all believe God answers prayer? Oh, he does. He does. And he loves you. And he loves your children. And he will answer prayer. I know he answered my grandmother and mother's prayer. Because I was flying through the town like a bat out of hell. I was going home and not knowing where I parked my car. So let me tell you, I had driven it somewhere in a condition I had no business driving. But I'm here.
Hallelujah.
I'm here. And I know I had a praying mother and a praying grandmother. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you, those prayers, like Pastor Ross said, the seeds. Seeds that were sown into our lives. The reason we are standing here. And so, mothers, we can do no less for our children is to sow those seeds through getting on our knees and praying. And so, Mother Zebedee, she prayed. And then what did she pray for? She was praying that her sons might be a part of his kingdom. My goodness. What more important task of motherhood is it than that? Now, mothers, before anything else that you pray for, yeah, you might want your child to be a great star, great singer, great whatever. The biggest thing, y'all, the most important thing that you need to be praying for is that your child is in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That's the most important thing that you need to pray for, is that your child become a part of the kingdom of God. We've got a lot of mothers that do a lot of praying. Sometimes we pray out of necessity. Sometimes we pray just because motherhood is not easy. How many of y'all know motherhood is not easy? Oh, no. If motherhood is easy for you, you ain't mothering. If it's easy for you, you are not mothering. And somebody said, well, it's easy for me. You know, I got good children. Let me tell you something. The devil knows you got good children. And if you think he ain't going to work on them, oh, they may not be doing the same thing that somebody else is doing, but they may do worse. In this computer age, you know what your child watching on the computer? Some mothers would be surprised at what their good little girls are looking at. And what their handsome, young, good little boys are looking at. So it is incumbent upon the mother to throw people over a shoulder too.
I know that's right.
You can't leave this stuff alone and leave it to, I like seeing movies and but this is really I have seen movies where children tell their parent, get out of my room. This is my space. Get out of my room. Mother said, I don't want you looking at that. Leave me alone. Computer. You're supposed to be working on the computer, not wearing it. But if a child of mine told me, get out of my room, that computer would be sitting on top of their head. And they would be sitting down in the middle of the floor somewhere. Get out of my room. You don't have no room.
I know that.
Come on, man.
But see, the thing of it is that a lot of parents are just trying to be friends. You need to be a friend, but you need to be a mother first.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You need to pray and obey.
Obey.
And some parents don't want their children to be mad at them. Well, they'll get over it. Mm-hmm. Because if the truth be known, they love it when you correct them. Yeah, they would never admit it. They'll tell you. They get on my nerves. They won't let me do nothing. And then when they grow up like me and get old, they say, I am so glad. Boy, am I glad.
Amen.
For the tough love that I got.
Tough love.
Because I know me. And if it hadn't been for the tough love that I got, I wouldn't be standing here. But God had a plan for my life. If God has a plan for your children's life, He know from the time before they were in your womb.
Yes.
Or before He birthed it in you to get them. Whether you adopted them, whether you are foster mom, whether whatever it is, God knew that. And so mothers, we've got to get to the place where we say, look, and it does not always feel good that, you know, nobody really wants to punish their child. I don't know about you, but as sometimes as hard as I may sound, I hated to punish my children. I really did. And so I trained them on the third time. Don't do something to them. They did it. Didn't I tell you not to? They did it. I told you, bam, not to do it. But that was not the way to train them. So you train them a lot of times to go three rounds. So they know. When you tell them the first time, they know they got two more times. And so sometimes they will do just that. If you tell them, especially little kids, you said, Johnny, do not touch that and on the coffee table. Johnny, don't put your hands on that. He'll look at you and look around, then he'll go, we're going to touch it. Didn't I tell you? That's where we make the mistake. Not to put your hands on that. They take it back, and you look around, and you go again. And then after the third time, then you tap his hand. That was training them to know that they had three chances. But if you say, Johnny, don't touch that, and Johnny reach out for it and his hand gets slapped, then he won't drop go the second time. He'll understand, I am not to touch that. Them two little boys that you see me bringing here every so often, when they are at the house, especially when they're in Dee's room, they go in there and they get ready to touch something. And she said, don't touch. So now when they go in there, they'll look at it. And they'll look at her and say, don't touch. She said, don't touch. See, they know that they are not to touch certain things. But you know that they want to touch it so bad. And that's the way we are. We always want the thing that we are not supposed to have. And mothers, we got to know that. And it doesn't make our kids bad because how did you satisfy your key, Ross? We always wanted things that we were not supposed to have. The excitement of doing what we were not supposed to do. But see, that's what makes it difficult for parenthood. Because mothers have to understand that as good as your child may seem to be, that nobody born saved.
Mm-mm.
And that, you know, nobody have to teach a child a lie.
Mm-mm.
And you know, you don't have to teach a child a lie.
Mm-mm.
They'll tell you they didn't do it the minute. And they know they did it. And they can be looking, I didn't just shake their head. They shake their head in their heartbeat. The twins point at one another. You come and they've done something, they have chocolate all over, both of them chocolate all around their mouth. And the mother caught them and they said, they will eat them in the sitting up in the middle of the bed, they stole the chocolate, got up underneath the cover, and was eating it. And when she been in there, she heard all the chocolate rumbling under the cover, pull the cover back, they had the Kit Kat. And it was all around their mouth. And boom. And see, they're 2 years old. But they know how to lie. They were blaming it on each other. But both of them had the chocolate all over their mouth. And you know, that's what we look like to God. We be saying, no, we didn't do it. We be lying, and all the evidence is right there. And see, the job of a mother is to use wisdom. You know, is to use wisdom. So Mama Zebedee, she was praying. She got down on her knees and prayed that they would be a part of the kingdom. And see, that when you pray for your children, and mother, it can be so frustrating sometimes. You know, they can make you so proud that sometimes you just want to pop your buttons. They make you so proud. You see your children doing well. I mean, you can stick your chest out and you'd be so proud. But at other times, they can frustrate you so much that instead of your buttons pop, you want to pop them. But that's all in motherhood. And you know, one of the things that is really, as far as motherhood goes, is that communication with your children. How many of y'all know you tell your children to do something and they don't understand? They don't understand. It's not that they don't understand English. They don't particularly. You know, the way you said it, see, we got to be careful how we communicate, too. We got to be careful how we tell our children to do things, because they will take you at your word. And see, I saw this story about this parent, the mother, who had two children. She had the baby, and then she had a five-year-old. And so she had to step out of the room for a minute. And so the baby was on the bed, and she left the five-year-old there. And she told the five-year-old, giving him the first duty, the first responsibility, told the five-year-old, watch the baby. I'll be right back. She stepped out the room. And before she had gotten halfway down the hall, she heard a thump. And the baby started hollering. And she went running back in. And she looked at it, and the little five-year-old was sitting up in the middle of the floor looking just as innocent. She said, I told you to watch her. Well, he did. He watched her fall, and he watched her cry. He did what he was told. That's exactly what he did. He watched her. Now, if she had gone, clarifying though, don't let the baby fall off the bed. Then the five-year-old probably would have sat up there so the baby couldn't fall. But she said, watch him, and went out the door. And see, that's what we tell our kids sometimes. You know, we give them instructions, but we don't make it clear. And so then when you catch up with them, and they will take advantage of that. Well, you said, don't talk, but you didn't say. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be careful in our communication. But sometimes when you say, you want to, they knew what I meant. They knew what I meant, but you didn't say. And so they will take the advantage of. See, all of these little things I'm talking about with motherhood. Motherhood is not just sliding through the tubes. Mm-hmm. But motherhood can be very difficult. But when we pray, and we want to pray for our children to be part of the kingdom, one of the things that we do, and I did not do this when I had my kids, I was not saved. But by the time my grandkids came along, I was saved. Hallelujah. And I did it for them. But God blessed me with my children, because when I got saved, two of them followed me immediately. The other one followed, then he slid back. But that's all right, God got me. I ain't worried about it. But when the grandbabies came, When they were in that crib, look, they would look like a greasy pig. I prayed over them. And so the one thing that mothers need to do when you have a child, you pray over that child. And you speak over that child. Speak the will of God for that child's life. Call those things to be not as though they were. Thank God for the ministry of your child. And so this is some of the things that mothers have to do. And so, because if you don't, what good is it? Some of us are so anxious about children to be successful in the world. But what good is it if they're successful and making money, driving fine cars, living in good neighborhoods, but they don't know God? What good is it? Because all of that's going to pass. But a mother's love said, no, no, no. I'm praying for my child to be in the kingdom. And then she prayed that her children would be involved in the work of the kingdom. You see, she wasn't just satisfied with praying that they would be in the kingdom, but she prayed that they would be involved, actively, tell your neighbor, actively involved. That they would be actively involved. She wanted them to be involved in the kingdom. It's not just enough to be saved, because the church is full of people who are content just to fill a pew on Sunday morning. There are plenty of people willing to sit back and receive the blessings, but seldom do they get involved in doing any of the real work of the church. God is seeking for workers, for harvesters. God is seeking for people who come into the kingdom and get busy working. And you want your child to be involved in that, because it is as your child, as the other tangent was saying, you take care of God's business, guess what? He's going to take care of yours. And so you know that in your heart, Mom. And so you want that for your child, because you know, as you see your child devoting their life to Christ, you know that God got something good for them. And it just makes you feel good to know that they're protected, to know that God is watching over them, to know that God is blessing them, that he will return to them 100-fold. You feel good about that when you see your child doing the work of ministry. And so Mother Zebedee, she wanted her children to be involved. And then she had big expectations. So for me, all three of these things are positive. Do you have big expectations for your children? Do you have expectations for them? See, she didn't just pray that there will be doorkeepers in the kingdom, which is okay if that's their destiny. But what she wanted them to sit on the right hand and the left hand. But when you're working in the kingdom, there's no higher position than those on the right and left hand of the king himself. And that's what she wanted. You know, as I was reading this, I thought about the fact that it's time for God's people. It's time for the church. It's time for us to take our positions on the right hand and the left hand, to become leaders, molding and fashioning the outreach of the church. It's time for us to just go beyond just coming to church on Sundays, coming to Bible study on Wednesdays. But it's time for us to become leaders. God has, and as the pastor said yesterday, birthed something in each one of us. And mothers, it is, first of all, some of you don't know what God has birthed in you. Ask him. Go down on your knees. Go before the king. Find out what is it that God has for you to do as a mother. But there are some other things that God has birthed into your spirit. Don't let anything or anybody stop you from doing what God has called you to do. And then as you bring your children up, as you stay in prayer for them, and as you can't just pray for them, you've got to be obedient and bring them up according to the word of God. You've got to bring them up according to what the word said. The word said, train up a child in the way that you go. When they're old, they will not depart from it. The word also says, spare rod, spoil a child. Now, everybody think they know better than God. But the word says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Sometimes children need to be spanked.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Paul March Dunbar wrote a poem, when a fella's itching to be spanked. And a mother knows when a fella is itching to be spanked.
Mm-hmm.
How does she know? They keep on doing what they're told not to do.
Mm-hmm.
So every now and then, they need a little help. And they need a little encouragement to be obedient. And then after they get to a point where they're too old to be spanked, if they need a little discipline, oh, you want to do what? Oh, no. You got to stay home today. You want to go where?
Mm-hmm.
No, you haven't earned that privilege. No, you stay home. You go all right at home. And they will hate you for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
No, you come home from school. Don't go outside. You stay in the house because you belong inside.
Mm-hmm.
For this time. Until you learn to be obedient. You stay in. Sometimes we have to take things away from them that they want, mothers. If you keep just whining and talking to them and whining and talking and they ain't listening to you and they tell you, I want to tell you, shut up. Get out of my life. Get out of my room. Leave me alone. Oh, that irks me more than anything I ever. When I look at them, I cut it off sometimes. Because how in the world can that parent let that child, and the mother, you know what the mother did? Walked out the room and did what the child said. Let them. She said, get out! And the mother started trying to explain. She said, get out of my room! Now! And the mother took her old clothes basket and walked on out the room. Now, how in the world can that happen? That happens because there was a mom that don't know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
There was a mom that's not a godly woman. A mom that don't know what's available to her in the kingdom. And so we have mothers. A mother's love is not the kind of love that let your child do whatever they want to do. That's not love.
Mm-hmm.
You know how I know it's not love? Because the future of that child. Because you have allowed them to do what they want to do, even though you know it's wrong, that child down the road. See, when they get out there in the world, people not gonna let them do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
When they get on a job, they ain't gonna do what they want to do. They're gonna have to be obedient.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're doing is grooming a child to be violent, violent, violent.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're grooming a child to be beat, beat, beat. Because everybody not gonna take their mess because they're not home any longer. They're out there trying to pull the same stuff on the world and the people in the world that they pulled at home. And because mommy thought it was, they were too cute to spank, or mommy thought they were too cute to correct, then they went about doing their own thing, and they went about being rebellious to mom, and they went about, and so when they get out in the world, somebody tell them something, nah, 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 and they bust it right in the mouth. So what you want to do, mom, is you want to pray for your children. You want to train up your child. You don't want to be, look, you really don't want everybody to hate your children. Because, you know, a mother is going to love her child regardless. But you want to bring up a child that other people will at least like, or respect and say, that child is such a manable child. You don't want to bring up children that are little brats. That they get out in the world and think they can have their way because they had it at home. No. You want to bring up children that will be successful in life. And they will be successful in life when you teach them the right way. When you teach them to respect others, to obey your parents, number one. First of all, then the Bible says that if you obey your parents, that your days will be long. And so if you let your child get away with just being any kind of way, they don't be obedient, do anything they want, you helping them to shorten their days. See, mothers, we got to think about that. We've got to begin to think about what is it that we really want for our children. Do we want to just get them off our back and get them off our nerves? Sometimes, you know, we let kids do the things they want to do because we are tired of dealing with them. And so just do it. No, the hard part about motherhood is that you got to sacrifice your time. You got to sacrifice your feelings to make sure that your child is brought up in the way that when they go out into the world, that people won't just hate them because of their nasty attitude. Now, they may hate them because they're Christian, but they hate all of us. So what, they hate Jesus? But when they hate you because you got a nasty attitude, that's different, and you're not under the protection of the Lord. So moms, we don't want that. A mother's love say, no, no. I love you. We can be friends, but only if you obey me. Because if you don't, friendship canceled right now. And now we're going to turn into mother, daughter, mother, son. And if you want to call me enemy, you can call me that. But I'm telling you, I'm an enemy that's doing this for your own good. And it doesn't feel good all the time, but a mother's love will go beyond her feelings that will satisfy her flesh right now. A mother's love is for the benefit of her children, knowing that Satan is out here to kill the seed. So you're going to protect your seed by training up your child in the way that your child should go. The world is calling them. The world is calling them, but the world don't have anything good for them. But God does. So Mom Zebedee wasn't a bad lady. She loved her children. She wanted the best for them. She wanted them to be active in the kingdom. And she wanted them to have a high position in the kingdom. Is there any mother in here that don't want those three things for their children? If it is, raise your hand. And then we'll just throw rocks at you. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a praise offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody, is there anybody in here that is?